Sometimes I stand up here and wish somebody else was doing the talking. But I want to bring some of the words that are in these, to me, sacred books. I'm going to read to you first out of John. I'm going to read out of the 7th chapter, and I don't know just how many verses I'll read, but I'll start with 15. The Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" You see from that verse how mistaken the Jews could be about a man. Now, most of you know that the Jews never did accept Christ as Christ. And here they want to know how he knew these things when he was never learned. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." That's the one I want you to remember mostly. Because Jesus' doctrine was his Heavenly Father's doctrine, then we ought to go a little bit further and say that they are the decrees of God. If they are the decrees of God, and I don't know of any other place that we could be more positive of that they were decrees of God, but we do know that there's lots of men called of God and have left, shall I say, letters to different ones that comprise our gospel in our Bible and in our Book of Mormon. Men called of God and wrote by the Spirit of God. They are the decrees of God too. And I'm going to read you one verse out of the 19th chapter of Alma. And that's verse 71. It says, "Now the decrees of God are unalterable." I suppose I've read that to you before. "Therefore, the way is prepared, that whosoever will may walk therein and be saved." And if you want another one, you can go turn over to Alma, the 15th chapter, and read verse 55. It tells you the same thing. So it ain't all in one place. For that reason, I want to bring to you this morning, if I can, some of the scriptures that have been left here by some of his followers. And our Book of Mormon tells us that the writings of the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true. Now, if they are true, and our Book of Mormon says they're true, why shouldn't we stop and think that what's in these two books is what we should depend on to guide us through our life here on this earth? You know, maybe some of you don't realize, just the same way I do, but we don't know how long we're going to be here, so we don't know just exactly what we can say or what we can do, because the Lord has a whole lot to do with our daily life. We may not understand it. I can look back and see where he done something in my day that I didn't understand for a while, but sinceward I have. And for that reason, I'm here. Otherwise, if he hadn't put his hand in, I wouldn't have been here. So I'm going to try to do his will and to tell you some of the things that are in his scripture. My job isn't to get up here and tell you all things, but my job is to get up here and try to tell you some of the things that are written in these books. And I'm not going to get to tell you all that I've got written on this page this morning, but I'm going to tell you some of what I have written. I'm going to turn to Isaiah, the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read verse 20. He says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." I want you to let that soak in just a little bit. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And that light which we should get out of this is the light of Christ. And he is the light of the world. And if we can't get the light of Christ into our lives, we're going to die in darkness. So it behooves us to learn and obey his commandments. It's just that simple. And when you say it's just that simple, you want to look again. Because sometimes it's pretty hard to keep his commandments. There's got another one here that I want to read if I can find it. And I don't know just exactly. I want one verse out of Ezra. I'm going to talk to read out of the 7th chapter, just one verse. And this shows something about the desire of Ezra. He says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Now, if we're going to follow that lead, we're going to have to teach the people now. And I guess if you understand things like I do, when we come in to the fold of God by baptism, we are Israel by adoption. So whatever they spoke to Israel back there is speaking to us now. And that shows us what we should do. We should seek the Lord and his doctrine. not what some men tell us, because it tells us that cursed be the man that trusteth in man to make the flesh his own. But, folks, we see it on every hand. People trusting in man. And we shouldn't do that. We should get down here and study a little bit to find out for ourselves what we should follow. I'm going to turn over to Psalms. I believe it's in here somewhere. Sometimes, you know, it's a little harder for me to find things than it used to be. Sometimes I guess we'll blame it on old age. I'm going to read, I guess, the first chapter here in Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I don't know how to say it any plainer than David put it there, for us to look and learn and follow the Lord and his law. I want to read some more out of Psalms concerning the law. Turn to the 19th chapter. I'm going to read you just one verse. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, if he can do that for us, he'll make us have wisdom, understanding, so that when we read the law of the Lord, we'll understand it. And by asking our Heavenly Father for a little understanding, we'll learn more of the things as we go along. There's some things in these two books that I would put it this way. I would like to read and talk on. But there's some of it that I know would be beyond the understanding of some. I didn't used to understand them myself, so I know. But I'm trying to bring forth some of the things that are, well, I would say, kind of simple-like, and to the understanding of all of us. Turn to chapter 119, Psalm. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Now notice here, the blessed are the ones that walk in the way of the Lord. Sometimes that's a hard job. I know. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. That's another thing that's a little hard. Sometimes we say, well, we're wholeheartedly his. Sometimes something else kind of attracts our attention. And we fail to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Sometimes some other things come just ahead of it. We'll put that second. But he says, seek it first. And if his word is unaudible, we better not put something else ahead of it. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep the precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep the statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Folks, there's some of those things that we should read, shall I say, every day or so. I'd say daily, but some of these other things sometimes that we should read in between times. But that little bit of reading there would help us to sort our lives as we go along life's pathway, that we would do those things that the Lord would have us to do. Now I'm going to go back and this is going to be in next Sunday's class, but I've got it written down here and I'm going to read it. In 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I told you it'd be in next Sunday's lesson. I'm going to read 6, 7, and 8. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Now this is speaking of not the leaven of bread, but have you ever been told of an older man, and here's the example that he gave, and he was just talking to his grandson, had a grandson helping me. I've had that too sometimes, have a grandson helping me. But they was in the apple cellar, and they had sorting the apples over and taking off the bad ones. And they was wiping off the good apples and putting them back in. Wiping off what might have come off of a bad apple, because it'll start another apple to being bad. And pretty soon it spreads out like this is. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And you leave a bad apple in the barrel, and pretty soon it'll have a whole batch of them spoiled. just like one man or any one person, if the others follow after him, pretty soon they're all like he is. Either good or bad. And if he's bad, right, the other fellows picks up some of his badness too. Did you ever notice it? I have noticed working. I worked on quite a few government jobs during the war. One fellow started to talk to us. It ain't long till three or four or more around him are talking rough too. A little leaven at the whole lump. And that's something we need to watch for and kind of keep ourselves free of it. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is a sacrifice for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, showing us how we should govern ourselves, not by the wickedness, but by the righteous. If one be righteous and talk and act righteous before his fellow man, it ain't long until some of the others is going to pick it up and follow him. But vice versa. And with the wickedness, you'll find Satan in there helping to spread it. And that's another thing we have to do, is watch out for Satan. I think if we watch out and turn him away, he'll leave us. But if we don't, it'll grow and the leaven will be more. I'm going to turn to the Galatians for another word. In the fifth chapter, I'm going to read 14 and 15. Says, for all of law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. It's just one of those things. But love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to turn to the, we'll turn to it. Back in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, I'll read you one. And this is where one of the lawyers talking to Christ says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? I should have told you. This is in the 22nd chapter, and I'm starting with verse 36. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Folks, I don't know how far or how much good I have done, but I've read you several things here that you should try to keep in mind as you go about our daily walk of life. There's a lesson I'm going to skip that. I was going to say there's a lesson in Matthew, and where Christ told his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. That really goes into deeper than I have went with any of this morning. I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy the 2nd chapter I'm going to read verses 15 and 16. It says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Showing us here that some things are vain babblings. They talk of this and talk of that, and well, sometimes they're not particular just where they get what they're talking about. Maybe it's out of this magazine or that magazine, or like some of them come around and want to visit you, belong to different churches, and they've got a pamphlet that just always describes this or describes that, and you should have it. A lot of times it leads you kind of astray. So, if you're all like I am, when you get some of them things, you file it in 13. I can get, I think, all I need if I can just obey all of it out of either one of these books. They both teach us what we need to know to order our lives for what we will come up against when we get to that judgment bar. Not only wait till the judgment bar, but according to Alma, at death, he says, we go back, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. And you can find that same statement in Ecclesiastes, that the soul goes back to God who gave it. And then Alma tells you that the soul of the righteous goes to a place of peace and rest called paradise, and the unrighteous are cast into outer darkness. Now that is a preliminary judgment. After that, we'll all have to come, both righteous and unrighteous, before that judgment bar of God. That'll be later. That ain't what I come out here to talk about. I'm going to turn to Alma, the 3rd chapter, I'm going to begin to read with verse 46. I've got lots of time, so I guess I don't have to hurry. This is a little bit longer reading than I've been doing, because Alma is teaching. And when you read some of these, like Alma talking to his sons, some of the writings in Mosiah, and they're different ones. They tell things in there maybe clearer, or as clear anyway, as I can by trying to read to you and then talk to you. Now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? Have you walked, keeping yourselves blameless before God? These are questions that we need to ask ourselves. Have we walked, keeping ourselves blameless before God? Could you say, if you were called to die at this time within yourself, that ye have been sufficiently humble? You know, some of these must be a little hard to keep sometimes. That your garments have been cleaned and made white through the blood of Christ, who have come to redeem his people from their sins? Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not, ye are not prepared to meet God. Behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such an one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you, that such an one is not prepared, and I would that he should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand. And he knoweth not when the time shall come, for such an one is not found guiltless. And again I say unto you, is there one among you that doth make a mock of his brother, or that heapeth upon him persecutions? Woe unto such an one, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand that he must repent, or he cannot be saved. Yea, even woe unto all ye workers of iniquity. Repent, repent, for the Lord God hath spoken it. How, if we put all these questions down and then wrote our answer to each one of those questions, how would your score be? That's something we want to look at. How would our score be? You know, sometimes when we stop and consider and look back, we can see mistakes. Are we getting away from them? I know that sometimes I can look back at my own back trail and I can see some mistakes. I'm going to turn to 3 Nephi, the 11th chapter. I'm going to start with verse 30. But then he did expound all things, even from the beginning until the time that he should come in his glory. Now, some will say, well, when he comes in his glory, that's the end of the world. But if you have studied the other scriptures and have a bearing on that, you'll find that when he comes, it's going to be at the beginning of the millennium, what we call the millennium. And he's going to reign and dwell with his righteous 1,000 years. But that isn't part of what I'm going to preach about. Yea, even all things which should come upon the face of the earth, even until the elements should melt with fervent heat, and the earth should be wrapped together as a scroll, and the heaven and the earth should pass away. Now that's going to be after that second verse, after his coming, later on. And even unto the great and last day, when all people and all kindreds and all nations and tongues shall stand before God to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. This is the judgment that I want you to think about and think, well, how do I stand? Whether our works are good or whether evil. If they be good, to the resurrection of everlasting life. And if they be evil, to the resurrection of damnation. Be on a parallel, the one on one hand and the other on the other hand, according to the mercy and the justice and the holiness which is in Christ, who was before the world began. Showing here, when we come to that judgment, we're either going to be judged for our righteousness or for our unrighteousness. For the one on one hand, the other on the other. You know, in connection with that, I should go back to the 25th chapter of Matthew and read quite a bit of it to you. I'm going to begin with verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Now I don't say there's just going to be a few there. It says all nations. And when he says all nations, he means everybody. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Does that show you what we have to do? Be good to our neighbor and to the one of the least of his and brethren. Because he says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared. Didn't I skip something? Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall answer to them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Thank you.
This evening at 7, we have preaching by Brother Marvin Carroll. Turn to number 389 for closing.